Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Welcome, y'all. If you follow us on Instagram, you have already had a taste, pun intended, of today's episode. We took a cooking class on the official cuisine of Louisiana. That's right, we are talking gumbo. So, without further ado, meet you at the table.
I'm Lainey.
And I'm Laura Beth.
And we are
Steel Magnolias.
The strength of steel
with the grace of a magnolia.
We are here to have uplifting conversations about life in the South.
And we've got plenty of room at our table.
So pull up a chair.
Okay, it's that time of year. We're all starting to think about spring dresses and Easter hats and
yes. All
those things that are just so fun to
the song about
pull
your,
out this time of year.
The Easter bonnet song
right.
is going through my head. Yes.
Yes. But in addition to an Easter bonnet, it's also coming up on time to think about if you're one of those getting to go to the Kentucky Derby.
Oh, yes.
Or you're going to a derby party.
Yes.
Or
there's a lot of spring equestrian races coming.
Absolutely.
Some Keeneland have gotten.
Will be doing, you know, their April weekend runs.
Yeah.
Lots of reasons to wear fascinators and hats.
Yes.
Yay.
We all the
are
things
both
we love.
Beaming. So have we got something fun for you? We mentioned this last year, but there is a company, Prim and Brim,
mm-hmm.
and they do a pop-up for the month of April
mm-hmm.
so that you can get your derby hat or fascinator.
Yep. They're in Kentucky.
They are in Bowling Green, Kentucky. They do a pop-up there, but they're also online.
Yay!
All of the goods are also
That's right.
online. So no matter where you are, you can get a hold of them. They have derby hats. They have purses, fascinators, ties for the guys.
Cool.
Fun socks for the guys mm-hmm. or girls, derby socks and jockey mm-hmm. socks and all kinds of fun things. Derby gifts, if you're going to a derby party and you need a cute hostess gift, they've got you covered.
Fun.
So we are partnering with them to do a giveaway
Woohoo!
On our Instagram. So the pop-up store is open from April 2nd to 30th in Bowling Green.
Okay.
You can go to primandbrim.com to look at the
where they are exactly.
of that.
Yeah.
Or if you just want to shop yourself, no matter where you're located, tons of fun things on their site.
So we're giving away a fascinator
and bow tie
that match
yes.
each other.
So it's so cute because you can be a little couple.
A little and, his and hers.
Yeah.
So fun. Yeah. So look for that right now on our Instagram. We're giving it away this week.
So fun.
So I got invited to a wedding shower. That's a tea and a brunch.
Oh.
Another
reason to wear a fascinator.
Right? Oh, I know. I wasn't even trying to segue into that, but it is. It's the season. Enclosed with the invitation was the cutest blank recipe card that said delicious dishes for the Mr. and Mrs.
Love it.
And there was a little instruction note in there that said bring a recipe to share with the bride and be entered to win a prize.
So cute.
I was like, challenge accepted. Because this bride's from California. So y'all, I was like, where do I begin? Right?
That's right. We did this for one of your showers where we had people bring recipes.
But
I think it's sweet.
It wasn't a competition though.
Well, no.
So that got me thinking, like, what do you think I should do?
What's the competition? Like, do they just pick which one they think sounds the best? Or is she going to make these and then decide?
No, she won't make them. They're going to decide at the shower.
Oh.
It said bring a recipe card. Maybe they're just going to throw them all in.
And
if you brought
one,
a recipe card,
then you're
that's
in
probably
the
what they're going to do.
Okay.
But let's say they were going off of like
off of taste.
Which recipe sounds the best?
The recipe we just practiced at our cooking class was pretty dang good.
This one we're talking about today.
I mean, that's one I would put in the running.
Yeah. Since she's not from here, I was like, do I give her my pimento cheese recipe?
That's a fun one.
I do a good casserole, like a sweet potato casserole. You know, I was just toying with all different things. So I'm undecided.
Now that my mind's on Derby, I'm thinking I have a great Derby pie recipe.
Yeah.
That I had one of my Chinese students made it for her. They did it at her school. Have you ever heard of Pie Day?
Yes.
March 14th. Yes. So they were all supposed to bring a pie for Pie Day.
Oh, how funny.
And they had a competition.
And you had her bring Derby pie?
Yeah.
I love it. I love it. Okay. We got a lot to cover today. So anyway, we thought hands-on learning might be the best way to go ahead and jump into today's topic. So we went and experienced a cooking class.
So fun.
Right here in town at a place called Sur La Table. And you may have a Sur La Table in your neck of the woods, but the gumbo class was so fun because it was just us.
People are still a little gun shy, I guess, with the COVID situation.
So we had
it was in an afternoon on a weekday.
Right.
So yep. It was really fun.
So we had a private class. With Chef Mike. Now, I will go ahead and say the gumbo recipe from our cooking class is going to be available only to our patrons this week. So I'm posting that this week for them. If you'd like to know more about being a Patreon, then you can do that at patreon.com. I'll link to it. That's an exclusive just for those folks. But we have lots to say about gumbo.
Yeah. Such a big staple dish in Louisiana.
Yes.
I mean, there's, you know, Cajuns and Creoles, and they have their own style of making gumbo.
Oh, yes.
But both of those groups native in Louisiana.
Yes.
And they may not do things exactly the same, but there are elements of it that are in both direction, both people groups.
Well, and again, kind of like with the barbecue sauces, like such a divisive
topic,
especially from people that are originally from Louisiana. Like
yes.
They know what they know, and what they know is right.
And the other thing I think is really funny is people are very private about their recipes. Like
right.
Restaurants don't give out their recipe.
Yeah.
If you're one of the ones at the restaurant that knows how to make their signature recipe, they don't share it.
Right. Yeah.
It really gets kind of secretive.
Yeah, it does. Well, let me give you one definition that I found looking up online. Gumbo is defined as a popular U.S. soup from the state of Louisiana. It is the official state cuisine. Gumbo consists primarily of strong flavored stock, meat or shellfish, a thickener, and the Cajun/Creole Holy Trinity, which
yes.
is celery, bell pepper, usually a green bell pepper,
and onions.
But funny to think of an official state cuisine. Like, I've never even heard of official state cuisine.
Well, when you think about New Orleans in particular, it's probably the most important U.S. city for our own cooking.
That's
got Chicago and New York and places like that that have a lot of, you know, Italian
yes.
cooking or Irish. You know, like there's those populations. But as far as like American.
Yeah, that's true. Good
New
point.
Orleans is the yeah. city for our food.
Well, I got interested because I was like, does Tennessee have an official state cuisine? We don't.
Okay.
Not one that's like truly public.
Okay.
We have an official state fruit. The tomato.
Oh,
that's
okay.
kind of our own official food. So
oh,
anyway,
okay.
I know we've got
I was
a lot
thinking
of Tennessee.
Maybe we would go whiskey.
Listeners.
Or, you know, it's not food, but it is pretty important in our state.
But what's interesting in that definition I gave was there was no mention of okra.
Ah, well, it says thickener. And so we'll get to that. That is.
Okay. But I mean, you would think it would be called out by name because what we learned in our class was gumbo means okra.
That's right.
How it would translate from African origins.
Isn't
where
that funny?
It
that,
actually comes from.
But not every gumbo has okra.
Right.
Some of them use other thickeners.
Yeah.
And we'll get to that aspect
but
of
it just
the
feels
dish.
Funny to.
But I always think of okra in gumbo.
Like, I know every recipe has something people change out.
But yeah.
But you not change out the very thing that the recipe is called? That seems a little weird to me.
I didn't know that's what it meant until our chef told us that.
I didn't either. We almost were like, wait, what? He just opened with that statement.
I know.
We were
like,
hold on. Should we take notes? Yeah. So, you know, maybe a better definition, in my opinion, after taking this class would be a soup thickened with okra pods or filet, which we're going to talk about. today and containing, you know, meats or seafoods with the Holy Trinity and vegetables. Yes. I don't know. That might be a little better. And of a definition. So
should we go into at all Cajun and Creole? I want to do a whole episode on that at some point. So maybe we just hold off. I don't know. Yeah. What are your thoughts?
Let's hold off till we get to
We'll do that, as its own episode. Yeah. In terms of cuisine, though, gumbo can be either Cajun or Creole, like you see both ways. And same for jambalaya. Those, you'll see both cultures making those dishes. Cajun cuisine emphasize smoked meats. They're often more like land. Meats.
Yeah.
Whereas Creole will often do more seafood.
Yeah.
Not exclusively, but that's often what you'll see. And Creole cooking prominently features the ripe tomatoes.
Yes.
And rich sauces.
That's a good distinction. And since you mentioned jambalaya, sometimes I get confused because of the rice component to both jambalaya and gumbo. Sometimes gumbo, a lot of times gumbo actually is served alongside rice. But if you can think of jambalaya is like primarily a rice dish.
Like not necessarily. Like I think of gumbo as more thick soup, stew with some rice.
Exactly.
Versus.
Yeah. Jambalaya would be almost as rice based as like if you've ever had a Spanish paella. Like it is rice.
Yes.
With some things mixed in. So anyway, I didn't know if people
were. That's a great distinction.
Confused about that. But yeah.
Well, there's also a lot of French influence in this dish and in a lot of New Orleans cooking. We mentioned the Holy Trinity.
Yes.
Which is in a lot of Louisiana cooking.
Yes.
And that is actually similar to, I can't remember how you pronounce this, mirepoix, I think is how you say it, mirepoix, which is very popular in French cooking, which is onion, celery, and carrots.
Okay.
Yes. So carrot being the sweet of the Trinity.
Yes.
Same for, this is the similar, but bell peppers instead of carrots. So a lot of great dishes are based on those flavors together. I guess you could make it if there was something you didn't like in the Holy Trinity without it, but they're so good together.
Well, and also what I really love from looking at the history of this dish is when you think about Louisiana at the turn of like the 19th century, people from there was like Africa, which is represented by the okra.
Yes, for sure.
There was Choctaw. So like I'm talking the tribe.
Actual natives of the land.
They brought about the spice, the filet powder.
And that, in case I wasn't real familiar with filet. I think about Hank Williams singing it.
I had a note about that. Real quick, before we talk filet, though. And then the roux, which is French.
Yes.
So, I mean, when you think about how little people traveled back then, like your neighbors were your neighbors and that's who you did life with, even more, way more so than we do now. So what an it's almost like the most beautiful picture of a neighborhood get together,
bringing all aspects together. And I think you could even go further and say, you know, the Spanish bringing the tomatoes.
That's true.
The Germans bringing the sausage and the smoked meat.
That's so true. Yeah.
It's just like a true melting pot.
It is. Yes. Yes. Yeah. So, but yeah, let's spend just a little bit of time talking about this filet powder.
So can we just talk thickeners in general?
Yes.
So filet powder, I'm going to say filet powder because that's the form you would use in gumbo.
Yes, it's a spice.
Is ground sassafras leaves.
Yes.
And even in you talking about the mix that it all is, this particular dish, in Africa, they would use these big mortar and pestles, huge ones. I'm talking like broom size pestle.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
And so, the African people were very familiar with how to grind things using the mortars and pestles. And then the Choctaw were very used to doing things with this filet.
Right.
So together, they've come up with this great thickener for soups and dishes like that. And That is one thing. Filet can be one thing people use as a thickener. The roux that you make is a thickener.
Yes.
And okra itself has this thickening.
Yes.
So that's why this ends up being more than just like a brothy soup.
Right.
It's like a stew. Yummy stew.
Yeah.
With and tons of flavor.
Filet is F-I-L-E with an accent.
Yes.
I just wanted people to know that.
Yeah,
that
if you're looking for it in the spice section, that's where it's going to be.
I saw that Zatarain's makes a filet. Oh, gumbo, okay. A gumbo filet. How would you? Yeah, it would be called just gumbo called filet powder.
Okay. Yeah.
So if you're familiar with Zatarain's, that would be a brand. There's others, but it's going to be with your spices.
And some, you know, we were talking about there's different thickeners. Some recipes will call for both filet and okra.
Yeah.
And a roux. I mean, it's not like it's you pick which one.
Right.
But.
Yeah. In our class, we did both a roux-based gumbo, but we also added
okra at the very, very end.
Because apparently it gets slimy.
It gets very slimy. That's why I thought I didn't like okra, because I've had it where it's gotten slimy and it's just kind of ick to me.
Yeah.
But I did add it at the end, and I'll mention.
I saw one recipe, I thought this was interesting, that had you fry the okra.
Okay.
And therefore it added the okra early on in the recipe with the Holy Trinity.
Okay.
It added it had you fry the okra and then go ahead and add it in with your Holy Trinity.
Fascinating. So I guess our daddy loves some fried okra. So I had that a lot growing up and it was not my favorite. So.
But yeah, filet gumbo is also famously mentioned in the classic country song by Hank Williams Jr., Jambalaya on the Bayou.
Yes.
So if that sounds familiar, that really might be
filet gumbo.
Yes. I love it.
Okay. Well, like I said, sometimes if you ask people, how do you make your gumbo, you're not going to get a great clear answer because it's so secretive. But one thing is for sure, this is a dish that takes a lot of time. Mm-hmm. Particularly if you do it where you're making your own stock and you're making the roux. Yes. Like it's step by step by step.
Yes.
And so I even love the fact that I just even wanted to talk about roux for a minute.
We should, because I learned stuff about roux.
Yeah. And I didn't realize, I've made roux quite a few times with different sauces, but I didn't realize you can make it and then put just the roux in the refrigerator.
Yeah. Never heard that.
Because that takes a little hot minute to make.
It does.
And so once you have made it, then you can just put that in the refrigerator and maybe the next day start on the next step.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that because sometimes I don't have a huge chunk of time. I have a little time here, a little time there.
That's a good point. And roux is one you need to be paying attention to while you're making
it. You don't walk away from it and do something else. You stir it constantly, basically.
Yeah.
But anyway, you make a roux from flour and oil, or flour and butter.
A fat. Flour and a fat.
Yes.
Yeah. Something that I learned.
And cast iron skillets are great for roux.
Yes. Yeah. See, everything we used in that cooking class was so wonderful. Everything was like just the right temperature.
Already.
Sharp knives. But one thing I learned in the class about making a roux was they told us that the longer you cook the roux, obviously the more brown in color it's going to get, but the thicker it's becoming as well, but the less taste it's going to infuse.
Yes.
So if you are looking for your roux to be the taste infusion, then it maybe just needs to be a white in color, like a kind of a, I don't know. Would you say
you would do that if you were making, like, let's say a Kentucky hot brown and you were going to make that sauce that goes over it. That's a white roux.
Yes.
But for a gumbo, it's usually a brown.
Yes.
Like sometimes you'll even, and there's such a spectrum, you know, you go white to blonde to like maybe peanut butter to mahogany. Like it can get like a real spectrum of roux.
Good description.
Colors.
Yes. I was following that completely. Yes.
You want a pretty brown roux for a gumbo.
Yeah.
And I believe he said that even though it's getting thicker as you make it, it's less of a, I thought he said that it was like it added more thickness the shorter time.
Oh, okay. Well, then I got that backwards.
In this actual soup. But since we were adding okra too, it was going to be plenty thick enough.
Okay.
But you can look up, you know, videos on how to make a roux if this seems intimidating to you.
Oh, it's like,
and that kind of
nothing,
thing. The though. Main thing is that you just keep stirring. Like, yes. Don't walk away from it because it won't.
Get you a whisk
burn.
Or a wooden spoon and stay at it.
That's
yeah.
right. Oh, and just an easy, you measure out one part flour, one part
equal parts
fat, okay. whatever you're doing. And there's even some great information on how much to make based on how many quarts of gumbo you want. Like okay. you can, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's good.
Does that
yeah.
make sense?
Yeah.
Like if you're making, you would make 3 ounces of roux for a quart.
Okay.
So if you're making 2 quarts, obviously you're going to need
right
6 ounces of roux, etc. Well, that's for depending on the body of the sauce that you want
and
as well.
So that's already got me thinking about a lot of times I bet gumbo is prepared in large quantities.
Oh, I can only imagine what restaurants are doing. But yeah, even if you're doing it for a church cookout
exactly.
or something like that.
If you have the Southern Living Heirloom cookbook.
Okay.
I have that at home and I was looking at how much, you know, how they do their gumbo. They do a chicken and seafood gumbo that makes 32 cups.
Okay.
So, you know, I don't know if that's average or
I would want
what,
2 cups for my serving,
you know,
if I was having it just as a meal.
So that's almost like we've talked about punches on here before. Like it's already made to feed masses.
Yes.
Or the recipe already is made for that. So anyway.
Well, I like knowing now that I could make the roux, make it really well, put it in the fridge, and then start the next day with chopping or mm-hmm. whatever, because this
yeah.
is pretty time consuming.
Yes.
We're not given a recipe on making your own chicken stock, but that's something you could look up. That makes a big difference, too. I mean, there's some soups I make, and I'm fine just using that box.
He said Kitchen Basics was a good brand, I remember.
He
called
did.
Out. If you're not
and that
your
Pacific
own.
Brand, he called that
yeah,
one
yeah.
out too. And I've
yeah.
used, I've had their soups and they're really good. So
yeah.
anyway,
I've never made my own stock. So
that would be potentially a really important thing if you're in a contest or something though, because that adds a ton of flavor.
True.
You know, if you're
yes. Yeah.
wanting to win the recipe prize
if there's
at the shower.
If there's a ribbon on the line.
That's right.
A blue ribbon on the line. Okay.
When I think of gumbo, maybe it's just based on the ones I've had, I don't necessarily think seafood gumbo, though I love seafood gumbo.
I don't either.
I think of sausage, chicken.
I do too.
Like more land
yes.
meat.
Chicken and sausage. Yep. Together, though.
And that's what we made.
Yep.
In this
yep.
particular one.
Yeah. We use chicken thighs.
Yeah. And, you know, I have found in my cooking endeavors, while I love the like amount of meat you get on a breast, it is not as flavorful as a thigh. Chicken thighs are just more flavorful.
I know.
Especially
yeah.
with the bone in, if
yes.
you're roasting them or something.
Yes.
Obviously, we had this cut into pieces. But
yes.
I've
yep.
just found it's so much more flavorful.
Yeah. And he said that as well. So that was a good takeaway. So much I learned.
I know. Well, one thing's for sure. In Louisiana and in the Cajun and Creole cooking, they used what they had. I mean, you're going to see recipes that, especially in older cookbooks, where they're using rabbit, they're using wild duck.
Yep.
You know, whatever they could get their hands on.
Yes.
Sometimes even in the seafood ones, you'll see oysters.
Yeah.
In addition to shrimp or whatever they have.
Yeah.
And down there they have.
They got lots.
Yumminess.
Being coastal, they have land and coast.
And, you know, we mentioned in our Mississippi River episode, the way the river comes into the ocean there
mm-hmm.
and the collision of that, there is some fabulous seafood.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true.
Around there.
Yeah.
Well, okra. One thing I wanted to mention about okra, it's a mm-hmm. seed pod.
Yes.
And, you know, so it, when it's chopped up, it becomes there. This is actually the word mucilaginous.
Okay. Like mucinex.
Like, yeah, it's very unappealing
yeah.
to think of,
yeah.
but it's that
slimy
sliminess. So I really loved his cooking tip of not adding it till the end.
Right.
So you won't get too slimy.
And even put it aside if you're preparing ahead of time.
Yes.
And you're going to be reheating it later to serve.
Wait
till you
in.
Reheat.
Yeah. And that worked great. Because I am one who, I don't like that sliminess. And yeah. I loved having the okra in my gumbo.
Me too.
When I did it that way.
Me too.
And it was really tasty.
Me too. What else would we say?
Well, just about filet, some of the notes I had on that. It's finely ground, and it's kind of a greenish-brown color. It looks kind of like matcha tea, if you've ever seen that.
Mm, mm-hmm. That's a good description. Yeah.
Yeah, it looks a lot like matcha, but I didn't realize this is the same plant whose roots are used to give root beer its taste.
Oh.
But filet powder itself has no, like, root beer flavor
right.
or
yeah.
anything like that.
That's
I just
funny.
Didn't. I'd never really thought about that before. But filet, if you're using that as your thickener,
mm-hmm.
it is, it loses its thickening effect the longer it's simmered. So if that's what you're going to use as your thickener, you add that at the end.
Okay.
That's a good
point.
And it doesn't take a ton.
Yeah.
Like just, you can always add more, but go easy as you're putting it in there.
Can't take it out, but you can always add more.
And keep in mind that you don't have, if you're using okra and filet, like they're not exclusive. You
right.
can do both.
Yes, you
Many
can.
Really good.
And you could even do a roux.
And the roux. Yes.
Yeah.
All of it together.
Yes.
It's going to be good.
Use what you got, right?
That's right.
Do you hear Steven Tyler kind of singing every time you hear the word sassafras?
Oh my gosh, that's
Kiss
so
your
funny.
Sassafras.
I just can't, hadn't thought about
I
it.
I can't hear that word and I
Though
hear him.
When I hear filet, I definitely hear Hank Williams. But I hadn't thought about that one. Yes, that's
hilarious. The influence
hilarious.
Of music that's on our
right.
lives.
That's right. And also, if your gumbo doesn't have to have rice.
Right.
But if you are having rice with it, I would say prepare your rice completely separate. This is not like jambalaya.
Yeah,
this is
right.
completely separate. And you just add that as you're serving it.
Yeah.
Like I've even seen it like with a little scoop
yes.
on top and let the person kind of mix it as they want.
That's what I was going to say.
Or
a
on
scoop.
The side or something.
Yeah. Even a little ramekin next to it or something.
Would be perfect.
Yeah.
yeah. That would actually be perfect.
Another thing that it would typically be served with, which is what we did in our class, is cornbread.
Yes.
And so we made a honey butter cornbread, which kind of tasted more
it
like
was cake. Totally cake.
But it was wonderful.
It was really yummy, but I would say that was not what I'm...
But it was like sweet and savory. That's
true.
Why I think it was
That's
so
true.
Wonderful.
That's true.
So, I mean, you're not typically going to have that sweet of a cornbread, and most cornbreads are going to be... Well, if you make a sugar-based cornbread, I guess it kind of is.
It might always be that
But
sweet,
this was very sugary.
It was very sugary.
But yeah. I liked the sweet and
the
savory,
sweet and savory
combo
together. And I will say gumbo is one of those dishes that is even better the next day. Like the
yep.
flavors start to blend more and more. That's the case with several
yep.
dishes that have a lot of ingredients.
Yep.
So I
feel like that's a great incentive to press through and do the work.
Do the work.
To make a large quantity.
Maybe add your okra at the very, when you reheat.
Yeah.
But just let it all sit and soak yeah. each other up.
Yes.
So good. So, yeah, I would highly recommend finding the recipe you love for
yes.
gumbo and making it. Maybe for a group, because, you know, you can feed a lot of people.
You can.
With this.
Yes. It's very hearty. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, Louisiana does have several gumbo festivals. I was going to
mm-hmm.
look up, like, when is the gumbo festival? Well, it depends on what city you're looking mm-hmm. to be in. But most of them were October, November.
Okay.
So.
See, fall, when it's
yes.
turning that sweater weather and you just yes. want a good stew.
A good comfort
that makes sense.
Bowl. Of yumminess.
Well, I saw here in Nashville that we just had a New Orleans-style restaurant called the Gumbo Brothers that
really?
Opened up down in the Gulch area,
okay.
in our downtown area. I know we've got a lot of Nashville-based listeners, so I wanted to mention it. I don't know by taste because I haven't been there, but it's two roommates from LSU.
I love it.
I'm just like,
that
come
is so
on.
Cute.
Their story is that they lived in New York, and so they have one in Brooklyn because they couldn't find...
Oh my goodness.
You know, again,
okay.
if you're from Louisiana, you've got a diehard recipe and you know how to do it your way. And so they weren't finding that.
Okay.
Which shocks me in New York.
Seriously.
That they weren't
they have
finding.
Everything.
And so up in 2016, they opened a Gumbo Brothers in Brooklyn. And now they just opened one here in the
love
Nashville
it.
Area. So it's just two southern-raised buddies that wanted to do gumbo, and they've got all kinds of gumbo, but all kinds of other New Orleans dishes. So,
well, Bellevue has a restaurant called Voodoo Gumbo that I've heard very good things about as well from somebody who travels a lot to New Orleans, and he says it's a authentic, yummy
if gumbo
Louisiana food.
If gumbo's in the name of your restaurant, like
you better have a good.
I mean, I feel safe recommending you because you've really owned it.
That's true. Very true.
Even though I haven't.
Not sure about your po' boy, but your gumbo better be good.
Exactly. Oh, well, this was fun.
So fun.
And yes, just such a nod to Southern culture at its best, coming together and coming up with recipes together. So
I'm ready to go do just a food tour of New Orleans. How about you? Let's do it.
I mean, a week.
It would be a 10 week.
10 days. I mean, minimum. You would need some time for sure. But yeah. And then, yeah, go into our contest right now for the really cute fascinator and bow tie set.
Yes.
For your
You're going to be the cutest couple.
Your spring wear, wherever you might be going. Okay. Lainey, peace be with you.
And also with y'all.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.